Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, Donald Trump's wall is controversial, and so is Dawn Zimmer's. The mayor of Hoboken has a plan to protect her city from another Sandy-style flooding disaster that includes seawalls in the Hudson. But there's a backlash by those who don't want to lose their view of Manhattan. Mayor Zimmer will be on today, and we will include a few phone calls, too. We'll also check in with New Hampshire, where the voting is underway, and Donald Trump's closing argument includes a bizarre moment of reveling in what I guess you'd call pro-torture sexism. We'll get to that. But we'll begin on the other side of the aisle and the question, who'd be a better president to fight income inequality, Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton? It's our latest Clinton versus Sanders supporters debate, and it's perhaps the central policy question in the Democratic campaign. It's an array of policies, really, ranging from the minimum wage to tax rates on the maximum wage and whether the economy is rigged by elected officials to be beholden to Wall Street. It also includes the question of incrementalism versus idealism and which is more effective at reducing inequality. With us for this are two of New Jersey's leading Democrats, Assemblyman John Wisniewski from Middlesex County and State Senator Loretta Weinberg from Bergen County, including the western half of the George Washington Bridge. They are often better known as allied Bridgegate Hawks, but today Assemblyman Wisniewski is here as a supporter of Bernie Sanders. Senator Weinberg is here as a supporter of Hillary Clinton. Welcome back to WNYC, both of you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
We could have a debate on which one of you is more ardently opposed to Chris Christie becoming president of the United States, but maybe we'll do that another time.
And listen, I think you'll find us both in complete agreement on that.
And listeners, your calls welcome. Who would make a better president to fight income inequality, Sanders or Clinton, Clinton or Sanders? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let me start with a straightforward numerical difference. Sanders calls for a national minimum wage of $15 an hour. Clinton calls for $12 an hour. Here they both are, 21 seconds each.
It is not a radical idea to say that if somebody works 40 hours a week, that person should not be living in poverty. It is not a radical idea to say that a single mom should be earning enough money to take care of her kids. So I believe that over the next few years, not tomorrow, but over the next few years, we have got to move the minimum wage to a living wage, $15 an hour, and I apologize to nobody for that.
If we went to $15, there are no international comparisons. That is why I support a $12 national federal minimum wage. That is what the Democrats in the Senate have put forward as a proposal. But I do believe that is a minimum. And places like Seattle, like Los Angeles, like New York City, sure, they can go higher.
Senator Weinberg, would you make the case that $12 is a better number to be on as a national minimum wage to reduce inequality for the working poor?
No, I wouldn't make that case. In fact, New Jersey is, through in our state assembly, right now looking at $15 an hour. But I think there is a difference between those two speeches we just heard.
Mm-hmm.
What Senator Sanders is suggesting is that over a number of years, that's the way I heard it, as a matter of fact, over the next several years, that we get to $15. Not much difference than what Secretary Clinton said. $12 is a base, but if we have areas where living expense is much higher, then those jurisdictions should move higher. So I think that's a perfectly legitimate, appropriate argument.
Assemblyman, I think I heard her in that clip to say there's no international comparison. Maybe she's concerned about, export jobs or competing with other countries' low wages. And she also said places like New York and by implication New Jersey might want to go higher because of the cost of living. So is that not a good place to be in terms of letting states and localities go higher where appropriate, keeping our eye on international wage competition and setting a federal standard that's a little more modest than what Senator Sanders wants.
Well, and therein lies the problem. Do we go for modest incrementalism, or do we try to make the changes that are necessary? Brian, this race is not about $3 an hour difference between what Secretary Clinton has talked about and what Senator Sanders has talked about. This race is about creating a better future. And when you talk about a $15 an hour minimum wage, let's just take a state like New Jersey, where I've introduced legislation to make New Jersey's minimum wage $15 an hour. $30,000 a year at 2,000 hours for a work year does not go very far. It doesn't really do anything except allow you to have a home with dignity, to buy groceries. But we're not talking about people retiring on $15 an hour. And so we have to start recognizing that our most vulnerable employees, our workers who are at the bottom rung of the economic ladder,
right,
are working in basically wages that they can't even keep a roof over their head.
But just to press the point in her clip,
paying the bill.
She's saying, in effect, yeah, New Jersey, you go for it because the cost of living around here. Maybe in Oklahoma, they don't need the federal government telling them it needs to be 15 instead of 12.
Well, again, the race is not about $3 an hour. I think it's about more than that. I think $15 an hour is the right wage.
Let's go on to taxes. Here they both are on that.
If we're going to make public colleges and universities tuition-free, as I believe we have to do in the 21st century, yeah, we are going to have a tax on Wall Street speculation. Yes, we are going to ask Trump and his billionaire friends to pay more in taxes.
What rate?
Yes, we are going to end these. We'll come up with that rate, but it'll be a damn lot higher than it is right now.
I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that the wealthy pay for debt-free tuition, for child care, for paid family leave.
So Clinton and Sanders on taxing the wealthiest Americans. In addition, Clinton draws a line in the sand at $250,000. No tax hikes for people making under $250,000. Sanders would tax middle-class Americans to fund a single-payer health care system and do away with private insurance premiums. Sanders also wants to raise Social Security taxes on people making more than $118,000 a year, the current cutoff. After that income currently, there is no Social Security tax. Clinton has refused to endorse that hike as a way of keeping Social Security solvent. As we heard, they would both raise taxes of some kinds on the wealthiest Americans. Senator Weinberg, I'll start with you here, too. Should we see one of their total tax packages as better than the others for fighting inequality?
You know, it's very difficult when I review Senator Sanders' plans, because he wants to tax the wealthy for free college tuition. He wants to help tax the wealthy as well as the middle class for the single-payer plan. You can't keep going to that well time after time after time. He has big dreams, and I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful that he has been in this race in order to have us concentrate on some of those big dreams. But you know what? We have a Congress. We're not electing a king or a queen. We're not crowning somebody in this election. We are electing a chief executive who has to work with the legislative branch in order to get these big dreams done. And I put forth that it is Secretary Clinton who has the ability and the understanding of what we can reach for and how we can get there. I think $250,000, as Assemblyman Wesneski knows, in New Jersey is considered middle class. There is no doubt about that in terms of our cost of living right here in this metropolitan area. So Secretary Clinton has put forth a plan that is achievable, that is reachable, and I think that that's one of the main reasons why I am supporting her quest for the presidency.
Assemblyman Wesneski, on taxes.
On taxes. Why is it that Secretary Clinton gets to define what's achievable and anything else is pie in the sky? The reality is what Secretary Clinton wants to do is throw up the white flag before the first shot's been taken. What Senator Sanders has talked about, first of all, with all due respect to my dear friend, Senator Weinberg, is that there ought to be a tax on the casino-like speculation on Wall Street, and that can fund our higher education system because there is a lot of reckless speculation on Wall Street. And if Wall Street finds that that's distasteful, maybe there'll be less reckless speculation and less opportunity to take our economy into the ditch. But the reality is that when you talk about, Brian, when you asked, when you laid out the question about taxes, what doesn't get said in that litany is the savings that average American families would have and not paying the health care premiums that can come up to $20,000 or $25,000 a year, the savings that they'll achieve because of the lack of college tuition. There are savings that the middle class inures from Senator Sanders' programs that in every unfair question about, oh, Senator Sanders just wants to tax and tax, nobody talks about the savings that will benefit the middle class and make better consumers of a middle class that has been starving for more take-home pay.
Do you want to continue, Senator Weinberg?
No. You know, I agree that the wealthiest should pay much more than it should pay its share of taxes. But I do not agree that we can keep going back and keep promising people you are going to get free college tuition, you're going to get health care for all, a single-payer plan, and that he actually has a plan that's going to fund this. He's not yet been able to spell out all the figures, and I don't call it pie in the sky. I think those are great goals, but I think we have to find ways to get to them. And that's why to have somebody here who has such experience in both the United States Senate and in foreign relations as the Secretary of State, somebody who also, from my point of view, it adds a dimension because she happens to be a woman. I think we've got the perfect person in the perfect place to become the President of the United States in this election. And I'm thrilled to be able to be here for that reason. Secretary Clinton wants us to have affordable college tuition for our kids. She wants us to have affordable health care, and she's got plans as to the way to get there.
My guest, State Senator Loretta Weinberg from Bergen County, State Assemblyman John Wisniewski from Middlesex County, he representing Sanders, she representing Clinton, as we ask who would be the better president for fighting income inequality. And Leah in Mercer County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Leah. Thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much. My one thought has been that here in New Jersey, where it is too expensive to live, if a company is able to pay me $15 an hour, maybe that's a company in this lousy Jersey economy that will be able to stay in business, pay themselves and me.
And so your point is pro Sanders on this $12 versus $15 federal minimum wage?
Yeah, I'm pro Sanders all the way. And by the way, this is just an aside. I was recently offered a job at less than the $8.59 an hour minimum wage in New Jersey. This silly company thought that they'd get away with paying me $8 an hour. Why doesn't anybody investigate these people as well?
Leah,
you can find them anywhere on any job board.
Thank you very much. Jose in Woodside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jose.
Good morning. I was listening. I don't want to get bogged down. I think we get bogged down on specific issues that are affecting us individually or the country in general. But I was listening to Hillary have the conversation that she had last night with Rachel Maddow on the Flint, Michigan situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she answered the question, how she presented every aspect of that problem, the issues that they, all from the top to the bottom, what's needed, where, how, and where, you know, what's holding everything up because of this is not being done, that, whatever. How she handled that question, this is the way she would handle every problem. She has the ability, I think, to grasp situations to address them, because I don't know how she acquired all of this stuff. Maybe it's the experience, maybe all of, but and it's native to her. But the way she can just encapsulate, visualize, and get to the heart of each issue, this is what I think.
So you find her mastery of the issues the most impressive?
Their ability to master issues, grasp them, and just get to the different aspects to get to a solution. I think that that's what you need. You don't need somebody who can tell you, oh, I have this is a problem we have to handle.
And so $12 versus $15, raise taxes under and over X amount, those don't really matter so much to you?
It matters because these are affecting people. But I mean, whether you get $12 or $15, $3 is not going to make a big difference in anybody's life. I mean, you know, basically, right. If you're going to have the same problems at 12 as you have at 15, I mean, I'm on a fixed income, you know, so regardless of what comes at me, I have the fixed income so that I can have enough of surface that yes. I can handle things like emergencies.
Of course, but, as they said in the pajama game, 7.5 cents doesn't buy a heck of a lot, but give it to me every hour, 40 hours every week, ..
Right. You can get bogged down on that, but I think that you have to get to the root issues, and you can't say, well, my life is going to be so much better if I get 17 versus 14.
All right. Jose, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. Senator, you want to say something?
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Jose. I could sit back for the next minute or two because you did a great job. But back to the $12 versus $15 an hour. Secretary Clinton didn't say $12 an hour should exist all over the country. She made the exceptions that we all know that it is much more expensive to be living in the state of New Jersey or in the New York metropolitan area than it is living in other areas of the country, in other more rural areas. So she has found the practical solution to actually meet the needs of everyday people. And although $3 an hour is not what this election is all about, as John Wisniewski has said, $3 an hour actually is a lot of money for a lot of people and makes the difference between being able to buy a pair of shoes for your child for school or your groceries each week.
This is where I'll bring in the question that's been rocking these campaigns the last couple of weeks, the relationship between Wall Street campaign donations and other ties to Wall Street money as an impediment to fighting inequality. He says it is, she says it isn't. Senator, let me get your reaction to two clips of Clinton. This first one is from her rally here in New York in January on Roosevelt Island, chosen for the symbolism of FDR, who, among other things, broke up the big banks.
I will defend voting rights and make it absolutely a priority to finally, whether it's through Supreme Court appointments or constitutional amendment, to get rid of Citizens United and its pernicious effects on our electoral system.
Citizens United and its pernicious effects on our electoral system. Clinton said that in January. She said this last week.
What the Sanders campaign is trying to do is to link donations to my political campaign, or really donations to anyone's political campaign, with undue influence, with changing people's views and votes. I've never, ever done that.
Senator, how, on the one hand, can Clinton say it's vital to equality in America to reverse Citizens United, and on the other say big Wall Street money going into her pockets, or she said there, anybody's pockets, is irrelevant? Can you square those two things?
Well, I don't think she said, Brian, that it's irrelevant. I think she said that it has never influenced her voting. That's a big difference.
Right.
So,
she did say, though, in that clip, linked to donations to my political campaigns or really donations to anyone's political campaign. That was in the clip.
Okay. So I think what she said very clearly, what she said at the announcement, was that she is going to make sure she has the kind of Supreme Court justice appointments that will undo the really pernicious effect of Citizens United. What she said in the second clip is that donations from big banks or from Wall Street have not influenced her vote. I don't think those things are in contradiction.
So they influence other people's votes, but not hers? Is that what you take from those two clips combined?
No, I say that that's not the way I understood that clip, if I heard it appropriately, was that any donations coming into her campaign have not influenced her vote. If they've come into other people's campaign, I don't think she can speak to that.
Assemblywoman, what about Clinton's assertion then that it's an artful smear by Sanders, this whole topic, and that she has never taken a policy position ever that was the result of Wall Street money? Can you point to even one that you would say she has taken for that reason?
Well, I think you just really highlighted a very important difference. You said just now a policy position. She said a vote. And I think there's a difference because these contributions are not made because they have nothing else to do with their money. And if they're not done because they just thought it'd be fun, they're done for a reason. And what campaign contributions do, and those size of contributions, the very large contributions, they buy access. And very many times, what you get to vote on is already decided by the access that those contributions have provided. And so it's probably true that she may not have changed a vote because of a contribution, because the policy call that came up with the bill that somebody was voting on was already a foregone conclusion because of the size of the contributions. And this is the difference between what Senator Clinton is talking about and Senator Sanders talking about. We need to get the big, the pernicious effect of big money out of politics. We need to have the ordinary Americans making the decisions about what gets voted on, not Wall Street and the big banks.
But you couldn't tag her with being in the pocket of Wall Street for taking their money in terms of any particular vote or policy position?
Brian, I could not go through Secretary Clinton's entire career and make a decision as to whether or not it's been influenced by a contribution. If that's what she says, that's what she says. But the reality is that campaign contributions of that size buy access, and access influences policy. And so that's the problem we face here. When you're talking about $600,000 in speaking fees, that's not done just because they thought it'd be something good to do with their money. It has an impact.
New Jersey Democratic Assemblyman John Wisniewski for Bernie Sanders, State Senator Loretta Weinberg for Hillary Clinton, in our latest Clinton-Sanders supporters debate here as we ask the question, which one would be the better president to fight income inequality? Senator, you wanted to say?
Yes, Brian. There is so little difference between their policies, between Secretary Clinton and Senator Sanders. Senator Sanders has been in the United States Senate for 25 years. He doesn't have such a stellar record during those 25 years that he can point to in his own career in public office. And I don't say that critically, personally, but just making a comment on the record that he achieved there. They both believe that Citizens United should be undone. So what this race is about to me is that because the philosophy is so close and there are just small differences between the two of them, why are we not picking the person who has the most experience, is the most electable, and can sit behind that desk on day one in January of 2017 and not need a training period? I think it is so obvious that I wonder why we're engaged in this debate, because there are so few differences between them, whether we're talking about income inequality or whether we're talking about how we tax the rich or whether we talk about Citizens United or how do we get to health care for all.
He calls for a political revolution. That's rhetoric.
Yeah, well, that is rhetoric, and that's why we need Secretary Clinton leading the charge for us in the November election.
Assemblyman, is it just
Secretary
rhetoric,
Clinton,
or are they more different on the particulars than the senator says?
Well, I think they're very different on the particulars, and I think therein lies the difference between the two campaigns. I mean, I think it's an amazing development that Secretary Clinton's campaign is now saying that there's not a lot of difference between her and Bernie Sanders, because that's certainly not what I've heard on the campaign trail. But the reality is if you think what we have is good enough, if you think, you know, getting a half loaf, starting out asking for a half loaf and maybe getting a quarter loaf is what this country needs, then maybe Secretary Clinton is your candidate. But if you think that things are fundamentally wrong with the way our banking and our finance system is if you think things are fundamentally wrong with how big money influences the decisions that are made in Washington and state capitals across this country, then Bernie Sanders is your candidate because he sees the problems that we all see and has a prescription to do something about it. Secretary Clinton says, you know what, we can't do that much. We can't bite off that much. We can't try that hard. We ought to set our sights lower. And I think that that is the lowered expectation of failure. And Senator Sanders is talking about doing more.
Stuart in Bloomfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stuart.
Good morning, everybody. What I think is that, and I've lived through the Clinton years, I'm 48, and people my age and younger are seeing the effects of the decisions made in the Clinton years. And what we see is, at least what I see is that she's very disingenuous, and her policy goes towards what she's hearing from the media. And back in NAFTA days, she was pushing NAFTA really heavily with her husband. And those policies are the reason why I'm off today with no work, you know.
Well, how would you draw that? Make that connection. You think those policies from the Clinton administration, the Bill Clinton administration, have to do with you not having work today?
Absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, you have the North American Free Trade Association, which sent scores of jobs over to Asia. You have Wall Street very much loving these regulations because it goes right in tune with their, you know, make as much profit, which is with as little expenditure as possible. And then you have Glass-Steagall. Now, she wasn't mentioning any of these things until Bernie Sanders was a candidate. And I don't believe her. I don't believe her, and neither do young people younger than me. And if we want change, if you're over 65, chances are you don't have to work. You've already got your Medicare set up, and you're probably comfortable. But there's a lot of poor older people too. But I think that's her crowd. And if the young people come out, and they will, that's the revolution. That's not rhetoric. He's saying to go in and change House in Congress. Do you think she wants to change House in Congress? She's got a lot of friends there too. For her, it's just like status quo. If you want the status quo, she's your candidate. If you want change and you want us to actually have education where we can build and make things again, you're going to have to educate the people. You're going to have to loosen up on the middle class.
Let me get a response. Senator Weinberg, pretty tough challenge from Stewart in Bloomfield.
It is, and I can understand your frustration. Being at the age you are, and obviously according to what you just said, being without a job, and I assume having difficulty finding one for whatever the reason or whatever your profession and background is. So I certainly understand your sense of anger and frustration. But Hillary Clinton is running for president in the year 2016 based upon what's happening in our country and in our world today, not on the Bill Clinton years or not on her husband's achievements or lack thereof, depending upon how one wants to look at it. So I think she comes with a different set of skills, a different set of ideas and passions. And I think this idea that somehow, because Bernie talks about this, Senator Sanders talks about this, as, quote, a political revolution, it means it's going to take place. And again, this is not a coronation. Whoever is elected president will have to deal with Congress. To say that Hillary Clinton would not want a change in Congress and have Democrats in the majority is just false. She wants a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate in order to move her ideas forward. And I'm sure so does Senator Sanders. That is the only way we will get things done, or we will spend the next 4 years very much like the last 4 years, where the Republican House has spent hours, days, and months just trying to tie up the Obama administration.
Let me pick up on one specific piece. Let me follow up because our time is going to run short soon. And Stewart talks about various policies of the Bill Clinton administration that he thinks affect his unemployment now. They both Sanders and Hillary Clinton opposed the Pacific Rim trade deal today, but their history is that Clinton is for most of the trade deals from NAFTA under President Clinton on forward, and Sanders has been opposed on the basis that they take middle-class manufacturing jobs from the U.S.
Exactly.
Versus the argument that they create more export jobs here. How should we view, and Senator Weinberg, since that's kind of a challenge to Clinton question, how should we view their histories on free trade?
Well, I think Senator Clinton can't have it both ways. I mean, the interesting thing about the campaign is the narrative from the Clinton campaign is that she has got all of these qualifications, including her 8 years as first lady, including the policy debate that she was involved in as first lady. However, when it comes to a policy during the Clinton administration that perhaps has not panned out as well, then there's this distance taking. Well, she wasn't president at the time. If you want to talk about the Clinton legacy and you want to talk about the Clinton experience, you have to include the entire package. And the fact of the matter is whether you talk about how we really lost an opportunity at the beginning of the Clinton administration for health care reform, and it had to wait until the Obama administration to get done. When you talk about the free trade agreements that have put thousands of Americans out of work, and organized labor has repeatedly said that they were mistakes, you see where Democrats under that leadership have become closer to becoming Republicans than leading a true Democratic existence.
Is this a case, Senator Weinberg, where the suspicions about Clinton being more susceptible to political expediency come in? She was for the TPP until she came into the campaign. Then there was so much pressure from Sanders and Elizabeth Warren on that. Can we see Clinton's position on trade's impact on inequality as genuine rather than expedient for the moment, as it goes against her whole history on this topic, or most of her history?
Well, I think part of the myth or part of the negatives that are used against Hillary Clinton is this whole idea of expediency and you can't trust her. That's all part of the opposition party setting up an environment for the upcoming election. She stands up for what she believes in. You know, she's one tough woman, I guess I can kind of identify with that a little bit, who's been battered and, quote, beaten up, end quote, over the course of many, many years in the public. And she has never deviated from her basic beliefs in health care, in making it a better world and a better environment for our children, in educational opportunities, and in finding ways to get there. Now, her work with the Children's Defense Fund, her work on putting together the Children's Health Insurance Plan, that is one of the biggest steps forward that we have made for health care for our families in the United States, and she was the architect of that. So even when she gets battered up a bit, she finds a way to get to the solution, to get to the goal. And I think that's an admirable trait. I think this whole idea about you can't trust her and expediency, that's put up by the other side. As far as I am concerned, I believe what she tells us, and we will see when she gets elected president that she will carry out the promises that she's making to the American people today.
Well, we are not going to solve it all today, but here is a piece of the debate that Clinton and Sanders are having themselves and that we will continue to have here on particular policy areas, really, with supporters of Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton. Today it was on the question, who would be a better president to fight income inequality? And we thank two members of the New Jersey legislature, two leading Democrats, Assemblyman John Wisniewski from Middlesex County and Senator Loretta Weinberg from Bergen County, he representing Sanders, she representing Clinton, for coming on for some friendly debate, I think, fair to say, in the case of how well you two generally work together. Thank you very much for laying it out today.
And if I may add, Brian, thank you for having us, and maybe you can have the two of us in a program that we both agree on for an update on Bridgegate.
There you go. Brian, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be with Loretta on any program.
Thank you both. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And we're going to go live to New Hampshire and check in with the voting underway. Stay with us.